Andre Segovia Show.
Welcome to the Andre Segovia Show. I am your host, Andre Segovia. Thank you for joining me on this particular episode that I'm doing, because I've never done one of these before. This is a Q&A. I asked you to ask me questions, and you did, or at least most of you did, on some through most of the socials that I have, and others in person, which I appreciate as well. So I told them, I am not going to answer you in person because I want to save these questions for the first Q&A segment that I wanted to record for the program, or just in any way in general, because I've never done one of these before. So this became an AMA, and Ask Me Anything. So I took the questions and I took the five best, because some of them were like the same. So I took the questions and I segmented them, because you know some of them had like a theme to it. So I broke them down like this, and I'm going to timestamp them so you'll know the difference. Real estate, as expected, thank you. The other one is tech, obviously, thank you. And another one's more along the lines of stuff that I do and stuff that interests me. So that's some of my personal, I guess, pop culture favorites of sorts, and health and fitness. So those are the four segments that I've broken the questions down to. And I want to get the ones that some of you are not interested in hearing about real estate. Well, you know, that's kind of the theme now, but I'm going to address those first. And I'll make my way down those segments. And again, I timestamp these, not the questions themselves, but the segments, so you can hear out what I have to say for each of them. So let's go through with them, shall we? Because this could be very, very long. So I want to keep it as short as possible. Okay, question one. Is it a good time to buy? Well, that's always a good question. And depending on who you are, my question is, my answer is simply this. If you're ready to buy and you qualify, go for it. It's like some people are concerned because the prices can be high. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, prices are high. I'm gonna wait for the prices to go down. The downside for that though is that if the prices go down, the interest rates for the loan go up. And depending on what you're after, if it doesn't go down in the price range that you are hoping for, most people have done the math with that I've consulted. They're like, yeah, it is the best time to buy when you're ready. So they realize that the interest rate being higher makes the house more expensive. Like the product itself is cheaper, but the loan is more expensive. So that's the stuff that you're stuck with. And it doesn't work out too well in that respect. The other flip side to that question is like, well, is it a good time to buy and you're not ready? Well, then take your steps to get ready. And I recommend you check out my episode on my show, my top five tips for first-time buyers. All right, next question up. What is up with the market? And this is referencing to the housing market. Of course, if you watch the national news, it'll give you a national consensus, like what's up and what's down, but it's taking into account this. Like if, oh yeah, the medium home right now it's $750,000, but it's taking a home that's like priced $250,000 and compared to like $1 million or something like $1.5 million. If you take a half of that, yeah, the median home is 750, but you're only taking like the extreme ends and averaging those two out. No, it's like to each their own. So the market that I service is in Southern California, mostly Los Angeles and Orange County. So for that, that itself is like each things are different segments. So it's really hard to pinpoint certain things. But over here, the market is still pretty hot. There's low inventory that drives the current prices either to maintain the same or go up a little higher because it comes a bidding war. For example, there's a property that didn't move all that much in the market. As soon as one offer came in, a bunch of offers came in. And then another one that just went into a listing on Friday. Is opening escrow as of this recording, which is 3 days later, which is nuts. And over asking. And maybe it's locations. The locations are pretty similar to where these properties were at. It's just one's a condominium and the other one's just a house. So it's just, I guess, to each their own. So that's what's up with the market. If you really want to know what your market is like, if you're not here in this area because you can't ask me directly, I recommend you talk to your local agent. All right, next question. Is rent control coming to Anaheim? A lot of you have no idea where Anaheim is. Anaheim is home to Disneyland Resort. Yep, the original Disneyland Resort. And also home to the Angels, that won the World Series back in 2002, and we're still waiting for him to go back. Is Ryan Kershaw coming to Anaheim? This is a loaded question, actually, because there's been a lot of developments happening, and it's a big deal because this is considerably the biggest city in Orange County and perhaps the number one tourist-driven city because of the sports teams we have, Disneyland itself, the Disneyland parks that surround it, a lot of the transit that goes through here as well, and the industrial area. So it's a really big city in that respect. And if it comes here, odds are some people are afraid the dominoes will fall, and then more of Orange County would be introducing rent control ordinances. So is it coming? The battle rages on. Some people are taking some of the situations out of context and blowing that out of proportion. So because of that, I'm going to cover that in a separate episode that I recommend. That if you are in this area and it interests you, you're going to want to know what is up. Let's just say that what's going on is driving me to reconsider running for city council again. Because, yes, I did attempt for here for Anaheim, but that was some time ago. Okay, next question up. Do I need a broker to sign off on my licensee exam? This is in relations to trying to be a real estate agent here in the state of California. These guys always change their name. So it's either the California Department of Real Estate or the California Bureau of Real Estate. Why did they switch? I don't know. They just get bored with the title or something. But in the actual application, which I'm actually looking for right now, preparation meant I had it. There is, okay, for some reason it's not popping up in my emails. The short answer is this. If you're training under an agency, odds are they probably told you they need to sign off on your exam. That's probably because they're anticipating you being in their office with an active license. If you're a sales agent, probably that might be the best way, and you'll be tied to them, and to get out of there would be a little difficult, but it's also a recompense to them, so to speak, if you are studying under the tutelage of that real estate agency. I don't like deceiving people, but based on what I saw, and I suggest you check it out on the license itself, because on the application, if you're gonna get a license and you're not gonna have it active, that means you're gonna sign later, because you're getting a sales agent, you gotta be under a broker to be later. There is no one that needs to sign off on it. You can take the exam anytime you want. If you want to have active status immediately, one of the things that facilitates the process is to have a broker sign off on it. That's based on the notes that I read on the licensee exam. Now, when I took the exam, the rules were a little different back then. They're less stringent now than they were then. Don't know why, but anyway, it was much more difficult to become a broker than it was to become a citizen. Not a joke. I'm not kidding. That's how bad it was. So I'm a broker, and I didn't have to sign up for anything. So just then you know that. But you can double check with the Bureau or Department of Real Estate, whatever they are now, to confirm that yourselves. Okay, and I'll leave a contact information in the show notes. So, or in this case, YouTube video description down below. All right, last question in this segment: can I borrow your MLS? This relates to the multi-listing service. And there are people that do ask me this, that are investors or some buyers or sellers that are really curious, because the multi-listing service is this. It contains the property data of active, pending, or sold properties. Almost all the history in a particular region is held in the MLS. Now, I can tell you this much. No, because it's illegal. And it's mine. I paid for it, and some people want to piggyback off me just because they don't want to pay me a commission fee to help them with this thing. I see it in construction, where people, they ask a bid from our construction company to go out and bid. If we bid too high, like, oh, okay, I'll just get handyman to get the job done. Then the investor comes back and say, hey, you know what? I actually need a permit to do this, so can I borrow your license? Like, go pound sand, man. People. Okay, I don't want to get worked up over that. So the answer is no, you can't borrow my MLS. So next segment, this one's regarding tech. I want to address all of you on YouTube for the tech stuff. So I got asked this most recently, what computer do you use on the go? So for those of you know, I do bounce around offices. This is one of my main offices, a home office. So when I bounce around, or if I go to conventions or seminars, my device of choice to be on the go is my Pixelbook, my Google Pixelbook. It's a great product. It's an it's a head turner. Everywhere I go, everybody looks like, wow, that is nice. And yeah, and then they realize it is not exactly a computer, it's a Chromebook. I did buy for the third time that ridiculous Pixel Pen, and it's come in handy a lot better now after some updates. It works a lot better. It's still not as, it's still nowhere near as good to use as the Apple Pencil on my iPad Pro or the Surface Pen on my Surface Pro, but that's my go-to device because of the battery and because almost all my business runs on the cloud anyway, so I need Chrome. It's the best way to go. Okay, next question. What are you doing with an iPhone? That has a lot to do with this guy, the Apple Watch, and I wanted to give this guy a shot. And honestly, when I got the Apple Watch, it was literally a glorified fitness tracker. But after I gave it a shot, legit, because this is 4G LTE, but it cannot work without a stupid iPhone. You know, and I say stupid because I still don't really like the experience itself when it comes to using an iPhone for my daily needs. If I didn't have my trusty Note 9, I'd be losing my mind. But I will tell you this much though. Communication wise, I was pretty impressed by this. So that's the long and short of it. Communication wise, to get everything done, I rely on Apple products to communicate better. Because yes, I can do that with Android as well. And I use Google Voice anyway, but the experience with the watch and not having to be literally tethered to my phone, like when I go out to the gym or out for runs or anything like that and use Apple Pay on this, is much more accurate and effective than what I tried using on my Android Wear watch with LTE that didn't have Android Pay and it didn't even have a heart rate sensor, or my Samsung watch that didn't have LTE and the other ones were just too freaking big for my wrist. So this one's just the right size and it works fantastic, and this heart rate sensor on the Series 4 is top notch. Okay, that's why I use an iPhone, because it doesn't work without an iPhone. All right, what do you track your steps with? It's kind of this right now, because I actually burned out my second Under Armour band, but I'm waiting for the Galaxy Fit. It supposedly went for sale or pre-order in the United States. I haven't been able to find that buy button, so I'm still waiting on that. Next, do you still use a BlackBerry? Oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't ask it like that. That's like this. You still use a BlackBerry? Yes and no. You probably see my review with the BlackBerry Key 2 LE and also the BlackBerry Key 2 that I finally got my hands on, both in red. Yes and no. The reason I say no is because the Key 2 LE was underpowered. It couldn't handle almost anything I threw at it, so forget it. It didn't stay with me. The Key 2 held up way better, but because it's not optimized for Verizon, I ran into so many issues. And you really want to know all my thoughts on that phone, check out in the video description down below the link to the review for that. Also, I have a link to the reviews of the Apple Watch and the iPhone XR. So the reason I say I still kind of use a BlackBerry is because on my Android devices, I use BlackBerry services, which includes the calendar, the contacts, the BlackBerry launcher, and the privacy shade. Oh, I should show you this. This is actually really cool. So here's my home screen, right? If you use the privacy shade, because when you're dealing with real estate or anything of the sort that has sensitive people's sensitive documents and information, and you're reading it in public, this is one of the most awesome ways to read documents, so no peeking eyes can actually check into what you're reading. And you can control the opulence of the transparency of the privacy shade, so you don't have to worry about prying eyes taking pictures of your screen. So that's pretty awesome. Okay, next one over. What's the next big thing in tech hardware? You know, people keep asking me this. I guess they're waiting for the next iPhone, or they're waiting for the next, you know, if it's gonna be a tablet. Right now, everybody's talking about the foldable computers, foldable phones. Look, we plateaued in hardware. They're just trying to come up with more, I guess, gimmicky things you could do with hardware. It's not about hardware. It's about tech that runs the hardware. And that's just it. You can have the most awesome foldable phone or laptop, but if you haven't optimized the hardware, the software, it's all for nothing. Okay? That's kind of what sunk Android Wear, or now Wear OS or whatever it is. They keep rebooting that. Look what happened to Windows Mobile. Windows Phone and Windows Mobile, Windows Phone, everything. You just kept going back and forth. it sucked because they were never able to finalize that. You know, it's all in software, and it's obviously artificial intelligence, augmented reality. That's just the future of things. I think we're bridging the gap of what is making software tangible. I think that's what they're trying to get to, because you can touch hardware, but you can't touch software. You can interact with software, but imagine being able to touch software. You know, that'd be interesting. And I think we're getting closer and closer to that. So that's what I still hold. And I actually was interviewed regarding that. And that was the last question people asked me on that one when I was interviewed for Real Estate Uncensored. So I recommend you check that out, because what I predicted then is still relevant 2.5 years later. Okay, that wraps up the tech questions. Let's go on to, I guess these are the fun ones. These are the personal questions. What's your favorite music? Well, for those of you that followed me, you probably know I'm a big fan of instrumental, classical, symphonic, some opera, mostly film music. It's actually film score, but it's not just film, it's television and games, because honestly, film music has kind of gotten like too commercialized. It's too much Hans Zimmer. I'm not shooting down Hans Zimmer, okay? I'm a fan of Hans Zimmer, for those of you that know him. It's just that his minions and producers and studios want the same sound for everything. Here's an example. Inception comes out with the blah, and everything after that came out with the blah. So it's like, dude, you're just beating your dead horse here. Hans Zimmer couldn't do anything with it ever since. He has to come up with something original every time. But every time he does, the like almost every movie and trailer copies him. So it is annoying, and there's really no originality left in the film music. But anyway, it's really hard for me to find a radio station that plays these things, so I actually bought into a subscription service with Google Play Music, so I can listen to the latest and greatest soundtracks there, and some of the older ones. Some of the much older ones are like the rare collectors that I have to seek it out. So I actually relied on Groove Music to play for my OneDrive, because everything was there, but Microsoft killed it. Like, they disconnected it from the cloud, so I can't really listen to that anymore. So I have to manually load my music onto my phone, which is why, if you hear my complaints about the BlackBerry in being able to use Android Auto, that's why I don't use Bluetooth, because it's an audio file. I can't really hear the quality of my music because I use FLAC files for everything. Bluetooth is just not there yet for wireless transfer of FLAC files to satisfy an audio file with the 24 kilobyte per second bit rate. Okay, let's see. What's your favorite TV show right now? Well, since Daredevil was canceled, I have to say Cobra Kai. Yeah. And, well, if I talk any more about it, I'll spoil it. So Cobra Kai, YouTube Premium is worth it just for Cobra Kai. All right, next over. What's your favorite show of all time? I actually have two answers to this, because growing up as a kid was one show that I still love to this day, but as an adult, it's another show that I still love to this day, even though it's been off the air for some time. Growing up as a kid, my favorite show was Batman the Animated Series, volumes 1 through 4. The fourth one is still good, has some really good highlighted moments, but the original hand-drawn volumes 1, 2, and 3, that's what everything is measured against. Like, if you don't match the quality of that, then you fall flat on your face. So Batman the Animated Series, still my favorite, and I'm looking to pick it up on Blu-ray. My favorite TV show as an adult is 24. Yes, 24. I'm a big 24 fanboy. I'm not a big fan of 24 Legacy. It lost its magic there. I did enjoy the limited series run that was 24 Live Another Day. Which was really good. I actually enjoyed it. But the original canon of the show, never missed it. It actually, one of the few shows I could say that at the time, because it came out a long time ago, the whole family would just sit down and watch. We wouldn't even answer our phones, unless it's commercial break. But that was 24 for you. And it spoke to our times back then, so I really enjoyed that. Okay, what's your favorite movie? Okay, that's a loaded question. I used to be a film critic, so I enjoy movies of all genres of different sorts. But if it's going to be one, it's going to be a Christopher Nolan movie, and I highly regard Interstellar as his best movie. So I guess by default, I'm going to say Interstellar. Yeah. And I watched it with my kids, and they love the movie too. And they're like 6, almost 4, and almost 2. And they enjoy that movie. So it's something that we can all watch together, and it's fun. Who's your favorite superhero? Well, I wouldn't say he's super, but he definitely is a hero, and that's Batman. And if you guys didn't know that, then, man, You guys not paying attention. but yes, it's Batman bar none. If I had to break him up though, Batman for DC and Marvel, I think everybody loved Spider-Man growing up as a kid, as I did too. But it wasn't until Netflix did justice to Daredevil that reminded me why I really connected with Daredevil the most. On a personal level, I connect with both the mythology of Batman overcoming your fears, and in the case of the man without fear, Daredevil, in having to deal with what he believed were gifts that were given to him by God, but he's feel that the devil's coming out of him, and that's why he's returning to confessional. So it's like, I'm not being a good Catholic because the gifts that God gave me, I'm using them for bad. I want to use them for bad, you know. It's like that conflict within, like, are you serving God or you're not serving God, you know, that interplay in that character. That's what I relate with absolutely the most. But I still got to give my nod to Batman, although some would argue, like Dorkly did, that Daredevil is Batman. He's blind, right? So he sees with sonar. All right, that's the fun stuff. Let's go to the next one over, because I don't want this video to get too long either. This one is, how's your diet going? So this is the first question of the health and fitness stuff. How's your diet going? This is in reference to me having put off 80 pounds 2 years ago. It's still going strong, but I don't call it a diet. It's a lifestyle. So eating healthy is a lifestyle. I work out 5 to 6 times a week. Depending on the intensity, I do work out the 6th day. Otherwise, I'll do mostly stretches and Pilates to do something more low impact. And of course, I spend time with my family and it's more active. So that's what I do for Saturday. And Sunday, I rest. Okay. How often do you go to the gym? Okay. I guess not counting last week, I don't go to the gym. I work out from home, but with my smallest one being able to open doors now, I cannot work out safely with weights with him wandering around. It's like, oh snap, I almost, like, I'm lifting, doing curls, and he's trying to pop right through, like, whoop, nope. So I've been hitting the gym since last week, and I try to go in the mornings, like up bright and very early before the sun's up, because it's a lot. It wakes you up. So I guess you could say I work out at the gym now 5-6 times a week. And I'm getting a phone call, but this one's going to voicemail. I'll call it afterwards. Okay, how do you control your cravings? You know, this is in relations to eating healthy. How do you space out your meals? I eat 6 times a day. But I eat them in smaller portions. And to control the cravings, that's what this is for. I drink about 4 of these, because that would equate about at least 12 cups of water daily. So that's what I do. I drown my cravings out. Okay, and it's mostly just water. Sometimes I'll have coffee or Celsius. Celsius, pay me money. Okay, how did you lose your weight? Now, that's my latest episode of my podcast. Is an interview with my health coach. So I recommend you check that out, Healthy Habits with Priscilla. Check that episode out, and it'll answer in depth the question there. So I'll tip to the next question over. How long did it take you to lose weight? I lost 80 pounds in 3.5 months. I started April 5th, 2017, and I hit my goal by July 12th. I think that's 3.5 months, right? So it's less than 3.5 months. And after that, I just waned into fitness and nutrition, as it should be, and I'm eating about 2,800 calories a day and losing weight. So that's that. And if you want to learn more about that weight loss stuff, I recommend you check out that episode. I didn't post it up on YouTube. I only posted it on the podcast. And I recommend you definitely check out the meat of the show, which is the podcast. Even if you're not that into real estate, I try to diversify a lot more going forward. Although the month of June, I'm doing a limited series addressing rent control, because it's an issue that's getting out of control here in in California in general. But most of all, this fight is going to be nationwide. What is rent control? How did it come about? What does it mean and what does it do? That is what I'm intending to answer through the month of June, because people need to know. And as much as I wanted to keep my podcast itself scheduled every Monday based on certain things that have been happening in the past few weeks, I'll be doing special edition podcasts popping up in between those Mondays, because there's just crazy special elections happening and people are trying to raise taxes up the wazoo just across all areas. And this affects you directly, especially if you're living here in Southern California. You're going to want to be in the know. So you can follow me me on YouTube, but I definitely recommend on any of the podcast directories down below, subscribe to my show and tune in every Monday morning, Pacific Standard Time at 10 a.m. and you'll have an episode about that. But the month of June, I'm devoting it strictly to rent control. This issue is just like a wildfire, spreading around like crazy. The state of Oregon has basically made rent control statewide. It's insane. That's the first time it's been tried. I thought California might be the first. Last year, it isn't. And it's pretty scary what's going on, because you lose rights to your own house. And that's an infringement, a power grab that most people say they're afraid of the government, but their own state's doing that against them. So I definitely want to inform people and keep them up to date. So again, you could just subscribe to my channel here, but please follow my podcast on any of the podcast directories down below. I'm across a bunch of everything except for iHeartRadio and Pandora. Still waiting to be approved by them. I don't know what the holdup is, but hopefully they approve me pretty soon. And that does it for this Q&A session. Thank you for your questions, for any form that you submitted them. All my socials are down below. If you have any questions regarding anything I talked about today, if you want another question you want featured some other time, by all means, you can leave them here in the YouTube comments down below. Please keep it friendly. I've enjoyed that in all the time that I've been on YouTube. No one's been abusing the comments. I do moderate them, so I never had to take one down, so I'm happy about that. And I would mention that if you want to follow me on Instagram TV, there's a lot of back behind the scenes stuff that I recommend. And as I grow to hit 1 million combined views, thank you so much. I want to hit a certain subscriber base, because I've gained more subscribers, but I would love to do another giveaway like I did last year. It's just a more so to for all of you, like as a reward to give you an opportunity to win some goodies. And what that is, I'm not entirely sure yet, but I'll plan it as it comes along. But as soon as I hit 5,000 subscribers, I want to do a giveaway. So I'm about halfway there, so it's just small milestones here and there. So thank you very much for tuning into this episode of the Andres Segovia Show, and I'll see you on the next one.